The Drive with Rob and Roz. Weekdays, 4 to 7. Jacaranda FM.
It's The Drive with Rob and Roz, and we are in the middle of Men's Mental Health Month. And together with the October Health app, we are chatting about men and mental health and different topics. And we're chatting to Wouter Snyman today about mental health and money and your finances. Wouter, baie welkom by The Drive with Rob and Roz, CEO of the Atu Group, successful serial entrepreneur. Ons is baie bly om jou hier te hê.
Dis wonderlik om saam met julle te kan kuier en oor hierdie baie belangrike onderwerp te gesels.
Mental health conversations often center around feelings of depression or stress, or you know, it's sort of how you sort of interact with yourself and your emotions.
Yeah.
But then there are external factors that contribute to those things. And yeah, money is a huge driver of those sort of feelings.
Yeah, it's massive. I think money is most probably one of the biggest drivers. I mean, if we look at relationship trouble, sometimes money is the origin. 60% of divorces in South Africa, the cause is money. So it's not just a lack of money in your bank account. It's the effect, because that's the result of something. And it starts way back at our beliefs and how do we think about money, and then eventually the impact. And I suppose the closest resemblance to our thoughts about money is when you hear the word, what is your immediate emotions? And it's almost that Mufasa moment, if you remember The Lion King, where the hyenas were talking to each other and the one said Mufasa, and they were kind of shivering.
Yeah.
Yes.
And sometimes I think when we say money, you get that tingling feeling as well. And then, you know, maybe I don't have control over it.
So, hoe gemaak nou as jy, ek dink daar's baie druk op mans, veral om te voorsien vir die familie, en daar is net hierdie traditionele persepsie amper dat die man is die hoof van die huis, en ek moet seker maak daar is geld. En op hierdie stadium is dit moeilik. Ons woon in 'n land waar die ekonomie regtig nie op die oomblik so goed gaan nie. So mans het daai ekstra druk op hulle om te voorsien vir hulle families.
Absoluut. En ek dink ons uitdaging is dat is wat ons learned behavior, hoe het ons geleer om dit te hanteer? En eintlik is die vraag begin, sy oorsprong is, waar het jy geleer van finansies? Het jy by jou ouerhuis geleer? En ek dink baie van ons, as ek met mense gesels, sê hulle nee, ek het nie. Want my ouers het nie geweet hoe om finansies te bestuur nie. En die vraag is dan, het jy by die skool geleer? Nee, ons is in die 21ste eeu. Ons leer nog steeds die kinders van finansies op skool nie. Is tragies. Universiteit of dalk die kerk of by jou huis. So die vraag is, wat ons geleer? En meeste van ons het the school of hard knocks. Is ons maak foute. En as jy mooi dink daaroor, foute skep vrees. Die omstandighede waarin ons leef in die laaste paar jaar was eintlik maar hoofsaaklik gedrewe deur vrees. En hoe reageer jy op vrees? Enige vrees van enige soort. Geld is niks anders nie. En as vrees maak dat jy vries, beteken dit, as dit kom by finansies, ignoreer jy doodgewoon net die uitdagings wat gebeur oor jou en kom oor jou pad. Dalk vlug jy. Dalk is dit maar net 'n kwessie van, ek het so vol struis mentaliteit, ek druk my kop in die sand en ek dink dit gaan verbygaan. Of dalk veg jy in jou huis oor finansies. As jou vrou sê, maar hoor jy, ons kort dit, en as jy in 'n veglustige bui is, niks van dit dra positief by tot die hantering daarvan. So wat is die eenvoudigste advies wat ek kan gee is, jy moet doodgewoon meer kundig kan raak oor finansies. Ek dink opvoeding is reg deur die bank in Suid-Afrika groot uitdaging op enige vlak, maar definitief ook finansies. So raak bekend met die basiese beginsels van finansies. As jy voel jy is nou in die moeilikheid, deur dit te ignoreer gaan nie beter raak nie. So jy moet iets doen daaromtrent. So wat doen ek? Kry 'n stukkie papier uit, begin doodgewoon net sê, maar wat is my inkomste? Waarop spandeer ek geld? Hier pizza family meeting. Sit 'n pizza in die middel neer en die ooreenkomste is, ons gaan nie vandag veg nie. Ons gaan letterlik doodgewoon met mekaar gesels. Ek onthou in COVID het ek en my familievergadering gehad en doodgewoon gesê, ons is onbekende omstandighede, ons moet dit anders hanteer, ons moet dit as 'n familie hanteer, want doodgewoon wat ons doen is as mans, is ons gaan in hierdie skulp in, ons probeer alles self uitsorteer. We always, not always that great at it.
Yeah, I think Sorry, I've had a weekend. Yeah, I think that's an important point to consider because it's not an easy thing to talk about. No. You'll hear a lot of people around the braai talking about all sorts of things, and people will make vague noises, you know, oh, medical aid is so expensive at the moment. Mm. Oh, the economy has gone up. Oh, the petrol price. But nobody actually will sit down with their mates and be like, guys, I'm broke, huh? Mm. I don't know what to do. Mm. You know, and then the conversations about cutting back on luxuries and so on. As you say, as jy 'n familie is om die tafel en jy sit en jy gesels met almal en jy sê, wat het ons eintlik nodig? Wat kan ons sonder meer oor die weg kom? Wat kan ons doen? Mm. It's a much healthier place to have that conversation because it lets you be less scared of that conversation.
I think the one element of finance is that, I mean, statistics show that 97% of South Africans will never be financially independent. So that means if you feel that you're in a corner, you're not the only one. Chances are that 9 out of 10 of your mates is in exactly the same position. So it's far more common than what we think. We think we're the only ones, and you're not. You're definitely not. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I almost want to give you this reassurance. It's not your fault. Yes, maybe you've made mistakes, and we all do. Some of us does really dumb stuff. And then afterwards, you know that was really, I shouldn't have done it. But don't take the blame away from yourself and just take some ownership about it. And having a buddy or someone to talk to, just around a general conversation, is that, listen, what's worked for you? Maybe I can try something. I can share some of the stuff that worked for me. But that open communication, because that's where, even in marriages, it's not always a lack of money that creates the trouble and the challenges. It's a lack of conversation around money. And then we have this very weird thing, is that opposites attract. So that means the way I think about money, my spouse or my partner might not think the same way.
Yeah.
And it's kind of getting on that same wavelength that we know that we differ, and that's good and that's great because we have to differ. But in that differences lies power, because the way I see it, my spouse might see it in a different way, and she might see it in a better way. And two definitely makes a stronger team than just one.
Yeah, I think that's an important point to consider, actually, is that opposites attract. Because you get people who, and it doesn't matter which partner it is, but some households, like the one person just doesn't know what's going on and doesn't care.
Mm.
You know, it's like, oh, well, the money's always there. I'll borrow the credit card. I'll spend what I want. As long as there's groceries and stuff in the cupboard, I'm not really too concerned about how they get there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, once we acknowledge that, then we realize that it's not like I'm right all the time or that I'm wrong all the time. Is that, I mean, we're a partnership, and having a good buddy that you can have a beer with and honestly just talk your heart out, sometimes that helps. Because we also have this kind of way of making problems seem far bigger than what it is, purely because we don't take ownership. And yes, we are living in a tough environment. I mean, it is. Maybe some good news. I think it's going to get better. Not quickly, but there's some massive positive signs in our economy. People are taking ownership around things like serving the community and making a difference. And sometimes what you and I need to do is count our blessings. Just as a practical example, Steve Jobs, founder of Apple, passed away in 2011. He was worth around about $11 billion. And a quick question I ask people is, how much of that money do you think he would have exchanged for your or my life right now with all our challenges? And I suppose the question is everything. So from a money perspective, we're actually worth billions, because sometimes true wealth is everything money can't buy. And do we count those blessings? Because we tend to look at all the trouble, but we don't focus on what's actually going well. If you've got a loving family that loves you, that there's people that will pay, ask Bill Gates. He doesn't have a relationship with his wife. She divorced him. He's one of the wealthiest people in the world. So money can't solve all problems. And you need to have a perspective of, what are the things that's really working great in my life? If I'm healthy and I'm fit, what did I do to get there? And the chances are you didn't wake up and run a marathon. You started with very small habits. What is the smallest habit with my financial wellness that I can change to get it in a positive direction? If I don't know, ask people that actually know what they're doing. And that's a way to get out of the starting blocks from potentially a negative situation.
Wouter, jy beskryf jouself as 'n serial entrepreneur. Jy het al 15 besighede begin en die nommer gaan nog groei en groei en groei. Maar entrepreneurskap is nie altyd so maanskyn en rose soos wat dit lyk nie. It's a lonely road at times. And sometimes you're a serial entrepreneur because this one didn't work, so I got to start something else and then that doesn't work. So how do you kind of deal with the mental health aspect of that if you are not successful?
That 15 doesn't count the ones that failed because there's many. And sometimes I think that failure is a better teacher than success, because kind of when you are successful and by grace you achieve some things, firstly, it's never because of yourself. I've never met a great and a very, very successful businessman, entrepreneur that's done it by himself. So you've got to surround yourself with good team members. I mean, the stats are quite scary in terms of the amount of businesses that fail in America, and I would think we're worse. Out of 100 businesses that start, in the first year, 50% will fail. In the first 5 years, 80% of the total of 100 will fail. The ones that's left behind in the next 5 years, 80% will fail. So 4 out of 100 will succeed. But here's the reality. As South Africans, there's one thing that we have in common. We're most probably one of the most resilient people in the world. I mean, I've had the privilege of traveling, and I just come back every time and realize that, you know what? There's a brilliant book written, and it says failing forward. And the context is that what have you learned from your failures? So I try and do that. I've failed in business. I never let that define me. It wasn't – having a failure behind you is not who you are. It's possibly just where you were at that point. And the question is, what can you learn from a failure? I mean, we know some of the world-class business people out there failed dismally many times. It's just their resilience, and we have plenty of that.
That's interesting to hear you say that, because you mentioned earlier, you know, we don't talk about the pressures that come with finance often because you feel scared and ashamed of it. Mm. And it's almost like shame is one of those things where, like, until I engage with the thing, I'm okay. Mm. It's once I've engaged with it, then I've sort of owned up to it. And now I have failed, and now everyone can see it. And I feel like serial entrepreneurs, it's sort of that thing about, if this business fails, that's not the shame I'm carrying, because the goal is to make something work. So if this one didn't, on to the next one. And I think that's a very difficult mindset for people to get into, because once bitten, you know, you don't want to get bitten again. So people just shut down.
Here's our challenge. I think we brought up not to celebrate failure. And what I mean by that, but if you think back, way back when, and you and I can't remember that, when we were just born and we get to that phase where before we walk, what did we do? We crawled. And imagine a mom after the fifth or the sixth or the tenth time that you tried to get up and you didn't succeed, said to you, "Ach no, you're one of those slow children. You'll never walk. Just crawl." Okay, and if we look at adults around us, they don't crawl, because we kept on failing until we could walk. But then at some point in time, what we do is our parents put us in a protective little box with cushions around us, and they create this barrier for us not to get hurt. And through life, we are taught this principle that failure is bad. In actual fact, failure is essential for life. We've failed many times at everything that we do. But unfortunately, what doesn't happen is financial failure and business failure. There's kind of this public, we think there's this public ridicule. Where else if we, I grew up in the Free State, so my English was kind of self-defense. It still is to a degree. But I failed through it many a times, and I had some brilliant teachers that laughed with me, not at me. And sometimes you need to find the people that laugh with you and not at you, even when you're failing. And I suppose that's the power of a team around you that can share in your misery if you fail. And maybe you have a pity party, but don't keep it for longer than a minute. And then you get over it and just start again, because great business people, but people that manage their finances well, that's what they do. They have this resilience to start again. And as I said, I think as South Africans, we've got oodles of this. We just need to practice it in money factors, because we do take it very personally. It is an emotional subject. And we need to almost demystify that. Here's a fact. Everyone will fail somewhere when it comes to finances. You'll make a mistake. That's what we do. Get over it. It's not who you are. It's just where you are at that moment. And then you try again. Because guess what? If you learn from your mistakes, the next try will be better. And you'll get better at it. It's like speaking a language. I don't know if any of you can speak Mandarin.
Nee.
Okay, ek ook nie. Hoekom nie? Ek het in Afrikaanse huishouding groot geworden en iemand het vir my gesê, Chinees is ongelooflik moeilik om te praat, maar tweejarige Chineesies praat Chinees. Hoekom? It was the environment that they grew up in. And most of us didn't grow up in an environment where we were open and talked about money and money affairs. And we need to do more of that, not less of it.
Wouter, ek wou nou net vir jou gevra het, kan jy vir ons in 'n nederdop net sê watter maniere is daar om geld te demystify en al daai tipe goed, maar jy het nou net perfekte geantwoord. So, ja.
Was miskien wat ek kan byvoeg. So geld is eintlik die mees eenvoudigste ding om te bestuur. Outside of emotions, if you think about it. So ek vir my vrou sê ek is baie lief vir jou en ek bring 'n bos blomme huis toe. Kanse is groot, afhangende van die grootte van die bosblomme, gaan sy wonder wat se bolle het ek aangevang. So daar is nie 'n kwantifiseerbare manier om te sê, ek, I love you a 7 nie. Okay, hoe bewys jy dit? Money is numbers, it's figures. So the problem is we always think it's maths, en dan as ek vir mense vra, hoor jy, maar as jy 'n wiskunde genius, dan sê hy nee, ek is nie. En dan onmiddellik dink hy dit diskwalifiseer om van finansies in te doen nie. Daar is vier belangrike konsepte van geld wat jy moet verstaan. Een is inkomste. Meeste van ons verstaan dit en ons verdien dit. Maar ons doen dit in 'n aktiewe manier, menende ons ruil tyd vir geld. En die probleem daarmee is, ons kan nie noodwendig meer tyd kry nie. So dis die beperking. So jy moet iets anders doen daarmee. Die tweede konteks is uitgawes. En uitgawes is behoeftes en begeertes. Behoeftes is daar 6 uitgawes wat ons verstaan. Huis waar ek bly, kar wat ek ry, kos wat ek eet, kleer wat ek dra, versekering en opvoeding, education. Daai 6 goed maak jou behoeftes uit. As jy, ons weet, dit is wat ons moet betaal, of jy maak nie saak waar jy bly nie, jy hoef nie in 'n mansion te bly nie, want dit is 'n begeerte. Jy kan baie gelukkig in 'n 3 slaapkamer huis bly, as in 'n mansion, maar jy het niks stop jy om in 'n mansion te bly nie, maar dit is 'n begeerte, verstaan die verskil. En die laaste een is belegging. En die belegging is eintlik, en dis jou begroting, behoefte, begeerte, belegging. En as jy R100 nood het, en dis jou inkomste, is daar so 'n rule of thumb wat sê, R50 van die R100 gaan na behoeftes toe. R30, hopelik bietjie minder, gaan na begeertes toe. R20 gaan na beleggings toe. En belegging in wat? Belegging in die verlede, wat gewoonlik skuld is. Ongelukkig is 70% van Suid-Afrikaners ook blootgestel aan skuld. Ons het te veel skuld. Ons moet deel daarmee. Maar dit kom ook terug na education toe. Wat is jou verstaan van skuld? Weet jy hoe dit werk? En as jy nie weet nie, praat met iemand wat weet. Ons het nou 'n bietjie gesels oor 'n geskenkie wat ek dalk vir julle kan gee. So uitgawes is dan behoeftes en begeertes. En as jy inkomste min uitgawe, gee vir jou 'n antwoord. En daai antwoord is positief of negatief. So dis 'n tekort, menende ek het tekort geld, ek gee meer uit. Warren Buffett, seker die beste belegger in die wêreld, het gesê, "You just need to spend less than what you earn." And invest that little bit wisely, and you are destined to become financially independent. So, sonder om te weet wie jy is, en te weet hoeveel geld jy verdien, as ek kan sien dat jy minder geld uitgee as wat jy verdien, het jy die kans om financieel suksesvol te wees. As jy dit nie doen nie, het jy garanteed kans om financially destitute te wees. En daai surplus, hoe jy dit belee is in spaar, baie kort termyn, en belegging. Daai belegging is in bates. Baie van ons het 'n huis, maar dis 'n lewenstylbate. Meen en hy gaan nie vir jou geld genereer nie. Of 'n kar. Dalk is jy 'n verkoopsman en jou kar genereer geld. Fantasties. Men moet in beleggings belê wat inkomste genereer. En daai inkomste is, jy doen dit passief. Men jy ruil nie tyd vir geld nie. En dis die siklus van geld. Dis so eenvoudig soos dit is.
So there it is. That's how simply you can think about it. And it makes a lot of sense. But it's so difficult in the world. You know, it's those conversations about, I mean, keeping up with the Joneses is stereotype for a reason. And we all do it. And the whole world is geared towards trying to make you to want things you probably don't need.
Now, even more than ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. we are obviously bombarded with marketing messages and the likes, thousands and thousands a day. And it's your ability to not act on those. And that's a learned skill. By the way, finances is a skill. It means like a language and like walking, you can learn it. A lot of people think I'm disqualified by life because I grew up in this environment or I have this background or I'm only earning this amount. That's irrelevant to your ability and journey to financial independence. If you are prepared to learn the skill, you can do it. Like we can learn Mandarin.
Mm.
I mean, my gut tells me, gee, okay, I think that's going to be exceptionally difficult to do, but there are billions speaking Mandarin. So there are billions speaking finance, but not that well. We just need to start learning the skills.
Got you. I think it'd be very interesting as a takeaway from this conversation to sort of, if you're in financial trouble, to think about it as a challenge of how can I minimize the impact of this? Mm. How can I try and solve this problem going forward as opposed to trying to beat yourself with a stick and say, I screwed up?
Yeah. You mentioned a little geskenkie. We love a geskenkie on the show. Tell us more.
Yeah, so I'm passionate about this topic. And my passion was born out of my pain. As a young boy, I grew up in the Free State. My parents divorced at a very, very early age. I was about 13. My mom was a hairdresser. My dad was an alcoholic. And when I decided to follow a career path, I decided to follow the entrepreneurship, not hairdressing. My kids won't let me touch their hair. But because of our environment, I started studying finance. And so I've written a good number of publications. One of the books is called The Ordinary Millionaire. And I would love to gift the listeners a PDF copy of that book. It was the number one Amazon bestseller at the time, selling against Donald Trump, believe it. He wasn't president at the time, but I don't care. And Robert Kiyosaki. So it's a really simple book that speaks about the principles that we spoke about. It does talk about the emotional component of it and how do you take yourself through a journey. And it's typically any skill, new skill that we learn. Initially, we're fearful of it and we don't do it well, but we do small little things to enhance it, like driving a car. You didn't do it perfectly when you started, but today you do. Why? Well, because you didn't give up and you went through the motions. And I'll talk a little bit about those practical examples. And I would love to gift a copy to any individual that would like one.
That would be incredible. Thank you, Wouter. Ons waardeer dit. We will make sure it gets into someone's hands. What a great conversation.
Ja, baie dankie, Wouter.
Dankie vir die geleentheid.
Ons waardeer vir jou. Where can we find you on the social medias if people want to get some more info and maybe pick up some of the other books in the stable?
Yeah, so they can find me at tattoo@wouterhoh.co.za or woutersneiman.co.za. There's a number of books that they can download for free.
Perfect. There you go. Wouter Snyman is our guest this afternoon. Baie dankie vir jou tyd.
Baie dankie. Dit is wonderlik om met julle te chat.